Thank you for joining me at the start of a new week and a brand new month of broadcasting coast to coast on the radio and around the world on the podcast. I'm glad you are here. Today is April 1st, and this year is moving fast. That's the way life is. Time stops for none of us, and so all the more reason to be right with God, to know you are saved, rescued, and delivered from your sin by Jesus Christ. On this first day of the month, a new beginning, have you had your new beginning in Christ? Do you have assurance of salvation? Yes, and I rejoice with you at how great a salvation. No, then I want you to contact me today so I can send you something, either in writing that you can read or via video that you can watch that will tell you how to get right with God, how to live at peace with Him, to have peace within yourself, and to have peace with others. So please write to me today. The email is mark@markaeswallow.com, and the mailing address is God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890, and these will be repeated later today. I look forward to your note. Nothing is more important than your own relationship with the living God. I pray that you will take this seriously now, today. And there is a very important stretch of days in the middle of this month, the week of April 14 through 21, as we Christians remember our Lord's final week of his earthly life. This, of course, includes his entry into Jerusalem, his illegal trials, his Last Supper, and more, followed by his crucifixion, death on Friday, his burial, and then his miraculous resurrection from the dead on Resurrection Sunday. If you love Jesus, then you look forward to this with great anticipation. I sure do. And to prepare for this, I'm taking us on a tour of Matthew's Gospel, chapters 26 through 28. We are watching the humiliation of Christ from Matthew's perspective, with some of the other gospel writers also chiming in along the way. It is very important to Christ's people to be prepared to worship and remember him. My desire for us here on God is that by the time we get to April 14 through 21, we will be ready, body, soul, mind, and spirit, because we have already studied with some depth episodes from that historic week. And thus far, in Matthew chapter 26, we have met three people who stand out in their response to Jesus. These are Caiaphas, the Christ killer, Mary, who loved Christ and poured out her affection on him by breaking an expensive alabaster vial of perfume and pouring it all over his body, and then Judas Iscariot, who betrays the Christ. Mary is like the rose between these two thorns, Caiaphas and Judas, to Jesus. I hope that you've been following along, and if not, be sure to get caught up via the God Is podcast. Details on how to download that will be given later as well. When we left off on Friday, I had given you a two-day brief biography on Judas Iscariot using the Bible to do so. I just wanted to make certain you knew about his life before we plunged down into the details of Matthew 26 at verse 14. And last week I told you that today I would talk with you about why Judas pursued Jesus in the first place. As I stated before, he was definitely in it for the money. Remember, Judas was a greedy thief, and as keeper of the money box, he quickly seized on an opportunity to take what was not his. And then Judas sells Jesus in the betrayal for 30 pieces of silver. And in between, as we saw, he objects to Mary pouring her pricey perfume over Jesus, rather than selling it and reaping the proceeds. Judas was driven by his greed and was remarkably bold in stealing from God. That's part of his motive for being around Jesus. He saw it as a way to easy money. And, by way of application, that's some people's motive for being around Jesus today. They say they're following him, and they may even participate in the life of a church, but they only do so as a way to get something. They think, or worse, are taught in some churches to think, that Jesus is going to, quote, multiply them with blessing, if they have faith. Jesus, they surmise, exists to bless them, to make them healthy, wealthy, well-connected, and prosperous. And so, there they are lurking around the body of Christ. But they're into Jesus for themselves, It's what he can do for them, feeding their carnal and worldly lustful flesh. These persons, like Judas Iscariot, fail to heed Christ's own words in Matthew 16, verses 24 through 25. Listen to this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Did you hear Jesus? If you genuinely want to be with him, deny self, accept the burdens of following him, and lose your life. This is a far cry from what you can selfishly get from Christ, fleshly sinful delights. Jesus invites self-denial, not self-satisfaction. But Judas did not want to believe this. And so ultimately he betrays the Lord, which proves that he never was a sincere, genuine, authentic Christian. He never was. All real disciples stay faithfully with Jesus until the end. Judas, as we saw on Friday, abandoned Christ and committed suicide alone and in his sin. But what else drove his initial interest in being a disciple and then apostle? I'll tell you. It was the great expectation that Judas Iscariot had for who he thought Jesus was and what he thought Jesus was going to do. Judas had great expectations for Jesus, and when Christ failed to deliver on those expectations, Judas became bitter and resentful and turned on the Lord. Judas Iscariot accepted that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah that he and the other Jews had been expectantly waiting for with great anticipation. And it is true that Jesus is the Messiah. He was and he is the only Messiah the Jews will ever know. All of us will ever know. It's just that Jesus did not fulfill Judas and the Jews' overall expectation of what the Messiah will be and do. That is, they thought at the time of his first coming that Jesus would immediately establish his kingdom and reign over it as a political ruler, the king and his kingdom. Let me quote from pastor, Bible teacher, and commentator, Dr. John MacArthur, from his commentary on Matthew regarding these unmet expectations of the man Judas. Quote, "Judas was severely disappointed that Jesus did not turn out to be the kind of Messiah he expected. Jesus did not overthrow Rome or even the powerful Jewish religious leaders, and consequently, Jesus had acquired no positions of prestige and power with which to reward his disciples. Instead of teaching them how to conquer and control, Jesus taught them how to submit and serve. Instead of Judas being richer than when he began to follow Jesus, it was quite likely that he was poorer." End quote. That's exactly right. Imagine the disappointment and then disillusionment Judas Iscariot had. He is anticipating prestige and power, a leading place in the new king's kingdom. Instead, he gets what Jesus offers and is told that he has to wait for the future to participate in the kind of kingdom the Old Testament promised and he was hoping for. But the man does not want to wait. He runs out of patience, gets sick and tired of Jesus' message, and gives up. But it's not just disappointment in Judas. It is disillusionment turned disdain. He takes it out personally on Jesus. When the politics do not go his way and the power is never given to him, Judas betrays the Lord to the chief priests, who are so desperate, incredibly desperate, to murder the Christ. F.W. Krumaker, in The Suffering Savior that I quoted from last week, puts it this way. It may be asked what induced Judas to force himself into the immediate vicinity of Jesus. Assuredly, first, the irresistible and overpowering impression of the superhuman greatness of the Son of David, Jesus. And then, doubtless, also an ambitious desire of being called to act some important part in the new kingdom. That was Krumaker on Judas' missed expectations. The Son of David, Jesus, was superhuman greatness, yes. And all of the apostles will play an important part in the new kingdom, yes. But that dynamic in the kingdom is not here yet. Still, today in 2019, we wait for it. We look forward to it with great expectation as well, but we are still waiting for it. And that kingdom of which Jesus speaks and promises is the millennial kingdom, ushered in by Christ after the tribulation period, when the Lord will reign on this earth. This kingdom absolutely and totally fulfills God's promise to Israel. But sadly, because of his sin, unforgiven because of his rejection of Jesus Christ as his Savior from sin, Judas will not ever participate with Christ in his reign as king. In many ways, the greatest sin Judas committed against God was to be disappointed in Jesus Christ. Jesus never, ever disappoints. When we offer him our sincere faith, right from the bottom of our souls, bursting forth from our minds and hearts, Christ takes us and saves us and gives us everything we will ever need. He supplies for all our needs, all of our most deepest needs. I love what the Apostle Paul writes about Christians in Colossians 3, verses 3 through 4. This is Colossians 3, verses 3 through 4. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. What a promise. The Bible says we resurrected saints will reign with Christ during his kingdom rule. Oh yes, we will never be disappointed in him. There may be times in our life when we struggle with our faith in Christ and when we do lose some hope. But in the end, we'll never be disappointed in Jesus our Lord. But tragically, Judas was, and tomorrow we'll watch him betray the Lord. So plan to be with me all week, right here, coast to coast, in America on the radio, and all around the world on the podcast, for God is.